Hey guys, it's Eric.
It's Brittany.
And before we start today's show, we want to tell you about something new from For Color Nerds.
So we started the show a couple years ago in 2014 as a way to remain close as friends. But since then, it's kind of turned into this whole other thing as a result of all the support and love we have received from you guys, our listeners.
Yes, we're so thankful for that support. And we're really proud of what we've done with the show. And we absolutely love making it. But to be honest, it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
A lot of energy and a lot of resources, money, to put it out. We want the show to continue to get better, and we also want to release it more regularly. We hear you. Trust me, we hear you.
Trust me, we hear you.
But in order to do that, we need your help.
Yeah, so we have decided to launch a Patreon campaign. So Patreon is a website where we can set up a monthly contribution that will allow you guys to help support our show.
By giving to us on Patreon, you'll allow us to bring on a part-time staff member to help produce and promote the show. That way, you'll get the best For Color Nerds experience possible. There's a lot of research. There's a lot of editing. There's
yes.
just a whole bunch of things that go into producing the show each week. And we want to make sure we do that work.
Yes.
So we really want to bring in somebody to kind of help make sure that everything gets done.
In exchange for you guys helping us out, we can offer you some exclusive perks, such as content that you can't get anywhere else, and even deals on our merchandise,
yes.
our forthcoming merchandise, which you will find out more about very soon. And yeah, and if you want to help us out, you can give at patreon.com/forcolorednerds.
Every dollar really goes a long way. Again, that's patreon.com/forcolorednerds.
So if you want to help us make For Colored Nerds bigger and blacker than ever, we'll be just really grateful for your support. So help us out.
Thanks a lot.
Peace.
And here's the show. Testing, testing, testing. Why can't I hear anything? Oh, yeah, I'm coming through. Hi, I'm Eric.
And I'm Brittany.
And we are...
For Color Nerds.
The conversations that black people have.
When white people are not in the room.
But we record them.
And we put them on the internet.
How's it going, Brittany?
It's going pretty good. I'm a little tired. But, you know, ultimately, I'm an adult with bills to pay, so...
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any way out of that.
I mean, I haven't found a way.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I'll be like, I'm so tired, and I'm like... Bitch, you don't have any kids. I'll be like, you don't have any kids. I don't live with my partner. We don't even work on the same schedule. I essentially am a completely single, unattached, childless woman, like yeah. 80 to 85% of the time during the week.
Yeah.
And somehow, I'm still like run down. So, I don't know. I'm trying to fix that.
I mean,
that's what's going on with me right now.
Everybody's struggle is their struggle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's fair. You could be run down.
Yeah.
You could be tired.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying not to make it like a permanent thing. Because that's the thing I tell myself is I'm like, you don't even have any kids yet. Like, save that. Well, I don't want to be like you so soon. Speaking of rundown.
Yeah. I mean, my eye, as I've been mentioning to you throughout the week, my eye has been like, I've been so tired and a little stressed. But like, my eye has been twitching.
It's stress.
Like, the whole week.
That's
It's like mad weird.
Stress. It means you're stressed.
But other than that, I'm straight. I'm pushing through, getting to this money.
You know what I want to mention? Just shout out real quick, even though it's going to be like way after. Mm-hmm. We both attended for the first time the National Association of Black Journalists, like whatever it's called, annual conference.
The annual conference, yeah.
In Washington, D.C. And it was the best.
Yeah, it was awesome. I had an amazing time. It was very lit.
Yes, it was very lit.
Everybody was really, really nice.
Like, yeah.
And it was a joint conference. So it was like NABJ, NAHA.
National Association of Hispanic Journalists. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Like, it was really great. I had a good time. It felt so light.
Yeah. You know? We talk a lot about in these here walls and Gimlet on my team, and other people talk to me about how sometimes I for the most part, don't feel like a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because, like, I imagine that, like, I don't know. I thought that the newsroom would look like the Daily Planet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I'm like, I don't know if I'm a journalist. Like, I don't have any steno pads.
You don't have a reporter's notebook.
Exactly. But yeah, I don't think about myself necessarily that way all the time, especially because, like, I spend a lot of time presenting information. Mm-hmm. I spend, like, 85 to 90% of the time presenting information and maybe 10 to 15% of the time, like, actually doing reporting. But being around so many brilliant Black people, you know, peers, people I admired, friends, it was just, it made me feel like I belonged to, like, an actual like vocation. I was able to actually see myself as a journalist for the first time. It was really nice.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm similar. I have been doing a lot more reporting.
You've been doing like primarily like tons of reporting.
Yeah, but I had never done that before. So, you know, it always very much feels like a performance of what I think a journalist should be. But again, like, you know, like you said, it was nice to go to like a place where there were pretty, you know, it was people from like a lot of people from my stage, you know, like wrestling with imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, people who were like veterans of the game.
Yeah.
Very skilled. You know, people who were looking like to get into it. Like everybody was represented, which I think contributes to that lightness.
Yeah.
When you feel like it's other people who are in the same spot that you are, it's not too bad.
Yeah. Like a lot of events felt like a family reunion.
Yeah.
And like every 20 minutes, I felt like people were like, so nice to have all these Black folks.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's a great thing to be able to shout out at a professional conference. So, yeah, basically I felt like, I think I tweeted that like I was at NABJ for a day, but by my tweets, you would have thought that I was at Essence Fest.
Same.
For a week. But next year, you know where NABJ is going to be.
It's in New Orleans, right?
New Orleans.
Yo, I'm trying to like.
I'm trying to go all 3 days.
I'm trying to swim in some gumbo.
Right?
Like
I want some boudin, some sausage, like some something.
Get some beignets.
Yep.
Anyway. We should take a detour though, and you should come visit Bogalusa.
Oh, I would love to go to Bogalusa and see your family.
So for those of you who don't know, like a significant portion of my family is from Bogalusa, Louisiana, which is about
an hour and a half.
It's about an hour from New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, if you're driving, then you can probably get there in like 45 minutes, mm-hmm. maybe. But it's an hour from New Orleans. But yeah, it's like it's real south. It's real south.
I'm ready. You know, actually, I've never been to Louisiana, and that's where that's where the people on my maternal grandfather. That's where they're all from. They're all from Jenna, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've never ever been. That's where my grandfather grew up, and he had to leave school early to like plant crops and stuff like that. That's why like I really 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 want to go down there to go see.
Yeah, you should. Like Louisiana is beautiful. Like all of Louisiana is beautiful. It's just like it's a lot of everything like looks different. There are a lot of little pockets that look very different from each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a wonderful place. I actually really love Louisiana. Every time I go back, I'm like, damn, I really appreciate this more than I should.
I believe that. I mean,
cool. Well, got those plans. We have to get that started.
Look at that.
But we got. I want to make sure we got a reason. We're here for a reason today.
Yes, yes.
And that reason is the second annual for Colored Nerds Awards. Oh man, it's been 2 years.
It's been 2 years. I want to give us a pat on the back for that. Like right now, I'm patting myself on the back. You're applauding.
I'm clapping to me.
You can't follow directions. But that's cool.
But yeah, it's been 2 years. It's crazy.
I know. It's so weird. It's like 2 years ago, we were living around the corner from each other.
Yeah.
You had no clue that you were going to have a child get married
or
as soon as
married.
You did.
Yeah.
You thought you were going to move to Uruguay with Carla, and you guys were going to like live there.
We're going to have a gap year, basically.
Yeah, you guys were going to have an adult gap year. That's such a beautiful pipe dream for some grown Black
right?
people. That was like, that's like what is it they say, like God's laughing at your plans or whatever. Like you plan, God laughs. Like that was some hilarious shit.
So we would tell people about our plans. So like we were saving pretty aggressively, which came in handy when, you know, we found out we're going to have a kid. But we would tell people like, so guys, we're like Carla and I.
I remember this.
We're, you know, we're working really hard. We can't hang out as much because we're trying to save because we're going to move to Uruguay in about 6 to 8 months.
I remember that for like a year. You were like, yeah. And you're like, I'm going to propose to Carla, you know, in the mountains.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and get like some sort of like Wi-Fi signal up there so that I can Skype all of her friends and family. And I was like thinking like, all right, like whatever. I mean, I don't know. At that point in time, like, only God knows what I was doing. So I couldn't really talk.
Yeah. I mean, it's just funny to think back. But now we're here. And honestly, like, you know, I think about moving to Uruguay and it would have been cool. I think we would have had a good time.
I think you guys would have had a great time.
But
especially consider neither of you speak Spanish.
Yes. Well, Carla speaks a little bit.
Okay,
like,
okay,
not,
okay,
cool. I don't know, not quite conversational, but close.
Okay.
So I think that was going to get us through.
Yeah.
But anyway, I say all that to say, like, I'm I'm happy with where we are.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's great. I mean, why would you? Look at Eve.
Yeah.
I mean, everything was really, really different. Like, we didn't work here. Yeah. That's weird. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not weird. It's actually still kind of weird that this is what's happening.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, like, this whole thing has like been like a big game changer.
Yeah, very much. So in celebration of all of that.
In celebration.
We're going to give out some awards. So if you haven't had a chance, you should go back and listen to the first annual for Colored Nerds Awards.
Excellent Awards. Listening. Excellent listening.
Yes. But we pick a very select few group of people, and we bless them with a variety of different awards. I think we gave the Petty with a Purpose Award
Petty
to Meek Mill.
Purpose. Yes.
Yes. And the McDonald's 365 Black Award.
Rember Brown.
To Rember Brown.
Yes.
So you should go back and check that out. It's a great episode. But we're going to give a whole new set of awards.
A whole new set of awards.
Today.
Yes.
And so I think the best way to do it is to just get to it. I didn't even mean to rhyme there.
Wow, okay.
You know, that's
right.
How I'm feeling today.
I'm inclined to agree.
All right, so yeah, you should go first.
Okay, so I'm going to start on a somewhat sentimental note.
Oh.
I know, right? Just got to get it out of the way first. But in mid-July, I went to Chicago for a conference, and it was a podcasting conference.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, I want to say the first night that I got into town, Alton, Sterling, all that was happening. Mm-hmm. I went to sleep knowing about Alton Sterling. And then I woke up in the middle of the night to get a glass of water and I checked my phone. And like probably minutes after I'd fallen asleep the first time, Philando Castile. I was like alone in this hotel room in a city where Black people are getting killed all the time. A city that's really segregated. A city that has a history of not exactly what you would call racial harmony.
Yeah.
And also
putting
like
it lightly.
Yeah. And also a city that like has suffered from racist housing policies for decades, probably almost 100 years, if not more.
Yeah.
So I was like in Chicago, and I was also like a city that's so segregated that like I was near the Loop or something like that. I barely saw any Black people. If they were not Black people that I likely already knew at the conference, like I didn't really, or like Black people that I already knew who were like my friends or something like that. It was no new Black faces, just like in the streets. So like I felt kind of lonely. I felt really removed. Like when I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw that, like while we're already mourning this one person, another Black man had died. It was just like I completely broke down. I just like burst into tears. And like I really didn't know how I was supposed to deal with like the next couple of days. I got to spend time with a lot of my close friends. Like I didn't have any of the comforts of home. Like, it was weird for a few days, and I actually didn't realize how bad I felt until I came back on, like, a Saturday morning, July 9th, and met up with Bay, and then we went to Peanut's first birthday party.
Mm.
It was the best. So you guys open up your apartment. It was really beautifully decorated. You guys had pizza.
Yes.
You had hot wings.
Mm.
You had cake.
Mm.
There were varieties of chips.
Yeah.
There was a delicious fruit salad.
Mm.
Like, there was also beer.
Yeah.
And then also there were all of these like really beautiful, squishy, little fat babies. There are babies everywhere. Like Peanut had on this amazing like white and gold dress. She had a beautiful gold crown after she attempted to blow out the candles on the cake. Yeah, you guys played Eve, Who's That Girl?
Yeah, it's a classic.
It's a classic.
And as soon as we settled on the name, we knew that like this was going to be a thing. This was going to be her song, you know, at least until she can choose what her song will be. But like that is her theme song. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And it was just like all these babies were playing together or ignoring each other, or like because they were all somewhere between like 6 months and like maybe a little bit over a year.
Yeah.
Some could walk. Some were just crawling. Some could just like move stuff around. Sometimes they would try to kiss each other or hit each other, as like children do. It was like the most peaceful and just like completely normalizing and like tranquil environment I had been in all week after just like this week of like not really being able to sleep and like all of this really depressing and like traumatizing news and being separated from so many people that like I care about. So to come back and immediately like go into this environment and just be there for a few hours, it was like to me the event of the century. So the Roof Is On Fire Award for Party of the Year goes to Peanut's first birthday party.
Wow. Thank you. That is, I mean, this is one of the highest honors I think I've ever received.
I told you, you were going to like one of my awards.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, since Pina isn't here and also can't talk.
No.
Or doesn't speak English.
No, she doesn't speak English. She speaks some language.
Yes. We haven't quite deciphered it yet. I will accept this award in her honor. And I will say that in planning her party originally, like, you go through all the intense, for kids' parties, like, you're like, shit, do I need a theme? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, what's it gonna be? Like, what are we gonna do? Should we have all this, like, should we have, like, stations where people can, like, do stuff?
Too much.
Yeah, and then we just were like, you know, at the end of the day, with Peanut specifically, you know, we've had, we have a village and a lot of people who love her and care about her. And we just wanted to get as many of those people in a room as possible with some other babies so she can have, you know, her people. And just like hang and chill and have fun and make sure she has fun.
Yeah.
You know?
She definitely had a good time.
She had a ball. Honestly, it was really great. I had a great time. While you were coming from a stressful situation,
yeah.
I feel like I was going to a stressful situation. It like forced me out of that mindset.
You were just going into a stressful situation. You were going to Louisiana, like to Bogalusa to report
on a story that has to deal with a lot of the things that are happening. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot. But it was great because, I mean, as Eve normally does, she don't give two fucks.
No, she really doesn't.
About any of that. She is, you know, probably like the most carefree little person I've seen.
Yeah.
And it was great. And I needed that. But thank you. That was nice. I appreciate that.
All right. So you're up.
All right. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. First award. As you know, I'm a big Dreamgirls fan.
Yes.
We haven't talked about that on the show.
I thought we have. I feel like we say like we are a family passing. At some point.
Do we?
Maybe that was just real life. We have sang that before, though.
But it's true. We are in real life. There was a point, definitely before I started working at Gimlin, like Brittany would G-chat me something random, and I would just respond over and over again with different songs Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
But I'm a Dreamgirls fan.
Yeah.
And there's a portion of Dreamgirls where CeCe and, you know, Jimmy and basically everybody, like, they realize if they wanted success, they kind of, sometimes you got to do some dirt.
Step into the bad side?
They had to step to the bad side.
Oh my fucking God. Okay. Where are you going with this?
Just roll with me.
Take
a journey with me.
All right. I'm walking.
So, you know, that's something that sometimes you have to do, you know, in life. Sometimes you got to step to the bad side. In that moment and watching that movie, I didn't judge them. I was like, you know what? I get it because I understand ambition. You know, mm-hmm. And I understand how you want to get to this money as I'm often trying to get to this money.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what? I get it. In life, you know, as that was a film, I feel like there are some corollaries. So I designate this award, the Stepping to the Bad Side Award.
Okay.
To Drake. I feel like this year.
Interesting.
Drake stepped to the bad side in a way that I really kind of appreciate. It's made me like him a lot more. You know, I feel like a year and a half ago, Drake was probably like, you know, light-skinned Jesus. You know what I'm saying? In the sense that, like, folks really felt he could do no wrong.
That's true.
And
if you touch the hem of his garment, you'll be made whole.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Facts.
Facts only.
But this year, Drake, he's made some curious decisions. Like, if you come for Drake coming for you.
I like that.
It's, you know, it's
I like that.
How it should be. He's,
yeah.
He's gotten to a level where he's like, nah, no more. I'm not about to be your punching bag. Beer game strong now. He's been drinking some muscle milk in the gym.
Hey, you know, I noticed.
Yes. And in addition to that, you know, he's also been much more open with the fact that he kind of is on some fuckboy shit. You know?
Wait, I mean, has Drake ever hidden the fact that he's on some fuckboy shit? To me, it's always been super apparent.
I feel like now it's like much more explicit. And that was definitely what the deal was with Views. To be honest, I don't think it's his best album. But it's
I
not.
I don't think you're alone in that.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad at all. I enjoyed it. I rock
so
with it.
You feel like Drake is about to trying to get his money, his respect.
Yeah, he's like
trying to get the panties.
Yeah, he wants the panties, he wants the money, he wants the power, you know? And I feel like he's asserting all those things in a way that I kind of appreciate, you know. I respect his need and desire to step to the bad side. My first award, the Step Into the Bad Side Award, goes to Drake. Shouts out. Six God.
That's true.
What are you going to do? Put Toronto on the map.
Oh my God.
Some people argue with that, but anyway, so that's me.
Okay, so my last award. I have found Instagram to be a source of many things. I mean, we have meal ideas. Many people use it for outfit ideas. Many people use it to keep up with their favorite known figures or celebrities and whatnot. But I have found one amazing thing about Instagram is you can sort of curate it to sort of see the world as you want to or need to see it. And for me, as a Black woman, it's like actually a tool for just like keeping me calm and keeping like my mental health in check. I really try to follow like a good combination of just Black women who are about shit, doing these really amazing things, whether in art, sports, design, photography, music, travel writing, whatever it is a Black woman is doing, I try to find out about it. Mm-hmm. But despite the fact that Instagram is this tool for the young, mm-hmm. there are a lot of Black women who are like 40 plus, 50 plus, 60 plus, and just winning. And like being able to have my Instagram curated to the point where I can just see them living their best life over and over and over again, it just makes me feel so good. Like I'm 28.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not very old. I'm turning 29 in November. I think probably around 27, especially for women, you become like acutely aware of the fact that like, the older that you get, the less you're noticed by society as a woman. And people just assume that, like, you are supposed to exist in service of them. Like, if you don't do those things, you're, like, socially penalized. So I have found, like, just a group of an ever-growing group of Black women who I look to who are, like, 40, 50, 60, 70s sometimes, who just have these really interesting lives, whether they include children or not, partners or not. Whether they're choosing to focus on like their home and their family or just their career or both of those things at the same time. I find them really inspirational. And also, I mean, living proof, consistent living proof that melanin is the fountain of fucking youth. So I would like to give the Bad Mama Jamma Award for Instagram excellence to, like I said, like a huge squad of Black women, mm-hmm. including but not limited to Gabrielle Union, mm. Tracy Ellis Ross, mm. Taraji P. Henson, mm. Leslie Jones, mm. Margaret Avery, a.k.a. Shug Avery, a.k.a. Mary Jane's mother on Being Mary Jane.
Okay.
Check her Instagram. It's fucking popping. You're about to do it right now. Right now, you creep. But yeah, no. Check her Instagram. Also, like, Lorna Simpson, like the artist and photographer, Jesus motherfucking Christ, this woman has to be over 50. And it is like, I mean, like I'm inspired, not just like, by the way she looks, she's gorgeous, but also just like by her lifestyle. She's giving off this carefree vibe. How could I even forget Miss Tina Lawson? Mm. Possibly the best Instagram account opened in 2016. Possibly ever, yeah. Period.
Bold declaration.
You must check it out. I mean, as I'm like realizing, all right, like I'm really an adult and I'm going to be an adult. And like in the future, God willing, like I'll be in charge of a bunch of other adults that I've birthed. You know, it makes me feel like I have a lot to look forward to. Last year, I gave an award, A Child Shall Lead Them, mm-hmm. to these like woke children.
Yes.
But yes, this year I am I'm giving an award to all of the seasoned mm-hmm. Black women who make me feel like the path ahead is not so rocky. So shout out to all y'all. Like, I mean, every single day you make me feel like, sometimes I wake up right now, I'm definitely like in a period where like every Wednesday I feel like there's like this alarm goes off and it's like, oh, very special episode. Something in your life is going to go like semi-catastrophically wrong and you have to like learn a capital L lesson from it. Like, congratulations, you're still in your 20s. They definitely give me hope that like, you know, I can look forward to like a period of time in my life where I'm not just going to be like constantly learning lessons and I'll actually be able to like enjoy, you know, some of the wisdom that I've gained from all this bullshit that I'm dealing with right now. So shout out to all y'all. There are too many of you to name. Also, I mean, shout out Sanaa Lathan, who's like, I think 44 or 46. And I recently saw a picture of her at the club wearing thigh high boots and hot pants. Like,
Elise Neal is also in that group.
Yeah.
Fire Instagram. Like, older woman, yeah. not necessarily older, old, but no. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, older than us.
Yes, older than we are.
And beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to you for looking growth in the face and taking a step forward.
I know. I mean, it's something you have yet to do.
But yeah, no, that's really well put. I too enjoy.
Yeah, but you're a creep about it.
I don't understand what you mean. I also think it's great. I also think black women are wonderful.
I'm going to cut this. I'm just letting you know. I'm editing this episode. I'm hearing you say this. I'm like, this is getting snip, 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 snip.
And I'm just saying, I also think that black women are wonderful. And I, you know, support, there are quite a few black women in the category that you just defined that mm-hmm. I also follow and revere and think they are great.
Well, you know what? Like, I'm going to let you have that. Oh, yeah. By the way, also shout out Thelma Golden. She has a really great Instagram. Also shout out, I can't even believe I forgot to mention Tasha Smith, who I honestly believe if you had to give God a human form, God would look like Tasha Smith. I truly, truly, truly believe that. She's also constantly traveling. And she's also the only woman that Bay Thirst follows on Instagram. Tasha Smith. He always knows where she is. He's like, oh, she loves South Africa. I'm like, you need to chill. But yes, that's everything I got for you.
All right. So my last award.
Yes.
So I watch a lot of TV.
I'm aware.
And one of the shows I really enjoy, I don't know if you watched this show, House of Cards.
I've literally seen 10 minutes of the first episode and I fell asleep.
Well, I mean, you know, fair enough.
People love it. People love it. I know it's a well-loved show.
It's a thing. I really enjoy it.
So it's a political thriller on Netflix set in Washington, D.C., and it's based around this white couple, Frank and Claire Underwood.
Correct.
I've never seen this damn show, but continue.
Okay. The show kind of outlines how they are very career-driven and power-driven couple. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they interact with a lot of people who are more powerful than them, and they kind of conspire these situations that propel them towards their goals in this, like, really kind of Machiavellian way, if you will. There are a lot of seasons of the show, or they're not a lot of seasons, I think 4 seasons at this point. Really excellent show. I love it, okay? Mm-hmm. And that is a skill, you know, I talk with Carla, and she's like, wow, it's like impressive. You kind of root for them, even though they're kind of the bad guys.
Yeah.
She's like, she often asks me, she's like, you wouldn't quite want to be them, right?
Like on some Macbeth shit.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Like they're like, and a part of you does, like a part of you really wants to have that, like, just like killer instinct. Mm-hmm. But then you also recognize that, like, that comes at a price because they clearly, like, to a certain degree, kind of hate themselves a little bit. So, you know, no, you don't want to be them, but you do. And I think there is one person who is finally being lauded this year for a similar drive, focus, and success without, at least, you know, from what I'm able to observe, without any of the clear, like, malice, you know? Like, so with this couple, they're, like, they're willing to do some, like, really, really kind of, like, shady shit.
Uh-huh.
And so this person who I'm talking about, who exists in the real world, is a real person, is able to set up the same kind of situations without any of the, like
clear motives, without getting their hands dirty, you mean?
Correct. Correct. And it's just impressive in a way that, like, I can't really qualify. Like, I can't say that before, like, a year and a half ago, I truly cared about this person. Mm-hmm. You know, they were kind of always on the periphery. Mm-hmm. You know, I was more ambivalent. But seeing the course of their life play out, I'm like, wow, you're impressive.
I'm sitting here like, who is it?
You're impressive. I want to make sure that I'm living my life like that with this clear focus, this ability to maneuver and use everything that comes in your way, all the, like, things that people would think would take you down to propel you forward.
Who are you talking about?
Let me explain the award first. So I'm not going to name this award after Claire and Frank Underwood because
they're white.
They're white. Culinary Awards.
Black.
But I will name this the Watch the Throne Award.
Okay.
Because, you know, you have two other people who were kind of at the pinnacle of their careers. And I just like the way they put it, like watching someone ascend to the throne.
Okay.
If you will. The Watch the Throne Award for 2016 goes to Black China.
I have chills.
Black China, I can't say how much respect I have for this woman.
Agreed.
Like, she has completely changed her station in life.
Yes.
In under, like, 3 years?
It's like, she has, like, to me, the level of strategy that Black China is operating with is, first of all, like, what we need for, like, counterintelligence.
It's
number
wild.
One, yes. Black China, I'd nominate her for head of the CIA, first of all.
Got her ear to the streets.
Ear to the streets. Second of all, I also like that, like, this all feels very, like, Charles Dickens to me. Like, it's very Dickensian.
Yeah.
The way, like Black China is sort of, like, a sense. She's just, like, she's just a lowly girl from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She's just, like, she had some talent.
Mm-hmm.
She had some looks.
Mm-hmm.
She had some business acumen.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought herself into, like, this new money circle in Calabasas. And she was just, like, I'm fucking infiltrating. She got screwed over.
Yeah.
So she screwed right back, got pregnant, and she's ascending.
Like, nothing trips her up.
So right.
Like, and it's wild. It's really, truly wild to see it play out. Like, I am someone, and I don't think we've talked about this in particular. Like, clearly I love reality TV.
Yeah.
And I've admitted my, like, love for, like, the spectrum of reality TV.
Yeah.
That includes, I'm not ashamed to say, the Kardashian range of series.
Mm-hmm.
So these are people who, while I don't really revere them, but, you know, like, I do enjoy watching them in their life.
And, I mean, you do, I feel like you have to give them a certain amount of respect. Well, only within the field. Like, within the field, you know what I mean? You have to give them some respect for really being, like, pioneers of the genre.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Totally, totally. You know, and for what it's worth, you know, however you feel about them, it's remarkable how much you can enjoy nothing happening.
Yeah.
You know, like, nothing happens in this show.
No.
In any of the shows.
They all
know?
Sit at home and eat salad, and everybody's wearing, like, a leather bustier, a fur coat, and cornrows.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, like, recently. Like, it used to be just, like...
Less.
Yeah.
Less than that.
But it's, you get, like, really into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found, like, you know, I haven't honestly met anybody in real life who's watched more than one episode who hasn't kind of at least got somewhat into it.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, feel however you want about them. And I have very complicated feelings about them.
We all do.
But to see Black China, like, maneuver into this world, see their attempts to keep her outside of it, and her just ability to say, like, nah, fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm here and I'm staying is like, I have so much respect. She's an inspiration. I feel like her hands are clean. Like, nobody looks at Black China. Well, you shouldn't.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Shouldn't.
But I also feel like nobody's looking at Black China like, oh, she did some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, no.
No.
She's lived her life.
She's the people's champ.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. She is the champ. And I don't see that changing at any one point in time. And you can tell how much you should root for Black China because of how much Rob also fucks with her.
True.
So like Rob Kardashian, if you will, is this person who, you know, has very much benefited and grew up in this life that the Kardashians have created.
Yeah.
But it's clear he has some like issues and disdain for it.
Well, and also, not only that, like, they, his family, like, he seems like somebody who's just, like, kind of feels left out and is really depressed. And his family gives him so much shit.
Yeah.
Like, you can see it on the show. Like, they shit on him constantly.
They treat him poorly.
Yeah.
To put it lightly off. I actually don't think Black China has anything against these women. You know what I'm saying?
No.
But she saw a system. And she's like, you know what? You don't want me to have access to your system.
Yeah.
And I think Rob respects that.
Yeah.
I think he totally respects that. And they're working together to subvert that system and to change it into something that they can live with.
You know what I actually appreciate about Black China and I love about this whole situation is that, like, so much of the Kardashians' aesthetic is, like, in, like, Kylie's case, like, a lot of, like, she's always trying to look like a Black woman, like Lil' Kim in, like, 1998. And, you know, the rest of them are trying to look like, you know, Black Basketball Wives or just, you know what I'm saying, right now.
Yeah.
And they've managed to make some type of fortune off of that, like hundreds of millions of dollars. What I love, though, is that, like, you can dress it up all the fuck you want. But at the end of the day, you don't have them. Y'all don't have them. You don't have those street smarts. Do you know what I mean? And street smarts, I mean, I know, like, there are Black women from many different places, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Many different types of economic backgrounds and, like, social backgrounds. But at the end of the day, I would say 97% of Black women have street smarts from somewhere and somebody, just because being a Black woman out in the world is
tough.
It's tough. And you have to have, like, you have to have, like, some strategies to kind of deal with that. At the end of the day, if you're a white woman growing up in Calabasas, like, you can, you know, get all the dark lip liner that you want. You know what I'm saying? You can, like, put as much weave in as you want. You can get as many ass shots as you want. At the end of the day, you don't have access to the same institutional knowledge that I do. You definitely don't have access to the same institutional knowledge as Black China.
Yeah.
Somebody that scrappy and that smart and that strategic can never be outpaced. It doesn't matter how much money you have. She came in with nothing.
She came, literally.
She came in with nothing.
She's like, what you gonna take from me?
Exactly. She'll figure something else out. She came in with nothing. She not about to leave empty-handed.
Yeah.
So, you know, shout out Black China.
Watch the Throne Award.
Watch the Throne Award. Well,
2016.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. It's well deserved. I did nothing.
You did nothing.
She did everything. So yeah, shouts out to Black China. And I think this is a good spot to end on.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's been 2 years.
It's been 2 years.
Even if you haven't listened to all the episodes, even if you haven't been listening for 2 years, however long you've been listening, we very much appreciate that.
We really can't say
it enough. And, you know, we really want to continue, hope to get to year three. And I think a part of that growth is, like, expanding the show in the ways that people have asked for.
Yes.
So, you know, I say that.
Yes. Like, when we say the ways that people have asked for, we mean, like, releasing the show a little closer to, like, regularly.
Yeah.
Like, releasing the show on a regular basis, possibly trying different types of stories, being able to actually promote the show, possibly being able to actually clear enough off our plates to, like move toward another live show.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff that you guys want that we definitely also want, but
we need a little help to get it.
We need your help.
So, if you would not mind, please, please, please go to patreon.com/forcolorednerds and give to support the show. We're not asking for a lot. Even if you can give us a dollar.
Yes, literally a dollar a month. $12 a year to help us.
We would appreciate it. And that goes so far. So
you
know, we're not using this money to just, it's not going in a pocket.
We're not going to Vegas.
I'm not trying to buy some nerds rope.
No.
You know, like, we want to hire someone to help us produce the show.
Yes.
So if you can give, that helps us to find and compensate someone for the real work that is done in producing this, which is our goal. And I think all of our listeners will reap wonderful rewards from
that. I agree.
So if you can, go to patreon.com/forcolorednerds and chip in whatever you possibly can. In addition to that, I'm going to ask you for one more thing.
I mean, I'm game.
If you could, go to iTunes.
Rate and review.
5 stars.
5 stars only.
We really, really appreciate it. And again, like, I can't say, I don't know how many times I've said this, but you don't know what those reviews do for us in the iTunes system. It really helps people discover the show.
Yes, helps people discover the show. So please, please, please help us out. Yeah, these are two just little things you could do.
Yeah. But outside of that, feel free to talk to us. Who would you give an award to?
Yes, let us know who you would give an award to. That's something I really want to know.
Tweet us at ForColoredNerds.
At ForColoredNerds.
Or shoot us an email, forcolorednerds@gmail.com. But thank you so much again. 2 years.
2 years.
It's been great.
It's been great.
I've looked at you for, you know, a lot.
Over a decade. So the past two years is just icing on the cake.
But we'll be back soon.
We'll be back soon. Bye, y'all.
Bye.